Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. The show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. So if you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org or MobiusStripPress.com, you can get all sorts of content regarding reclaiming our republic, such as the auditing and republic review for taking back the Constitution by the states. I will also say that if you are going to call, you may want to call in early. I'm going to have a guest. I'll announce that guest soon, but just remember, if you do call, please abide by those three C's. Be confidential if you know me, be civil, and be concise. And the question of the day or the week or the month or the year maybe still kind of hangs out there. Does the Constitution protect religious freedom? And so the guest today is Tom DeWeese. He's the president of the American Policy Center. I'll get into his bio in the next segment, but I wanted to talk because I kind of mentioned a little bit about focus, and that's focusing on the candidate's oath of service. And so the whole point of focus is to ensure that each of the candidates moving up, and you need to look into this because focus is a scalable platform that can go to every state. Is right now set up for Idaho. It has the potential if you have such a large drawing. So I would understand that you'd probably need a pack as a part of this, and that would be a part of focus. But if you have a state that might be pretty hard to get your grassroots leaders involved in supporting the Constitution, and isn't that pathetic? I mean, really, isn't it a sad indictment on how far we've slid away from our constitutional principles, getting candidates to, you know, serve us in recognizing their oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, as well as their state constitution, which I'm sure their state constitution acknowledges and recognizes the Constitution as the supreme law of the land, which means if it ain't in the Constitution, then it ain't the supreme law. And so anyway, the focus is centering towards this audit and republic review so that you'll be able to go to your particular state's page as you join in, and focus is looking for people to get involved in the states and so forth, because there's a little bit of research and support that's required behind this. But the interesting thing is this is the center for you in being able to go to focus and finding out which candidates are supporting the Constitution and calling for an audit of the Constitution by their state legislatures. And so it'll drill at two different levels. It'll drill into the state legislatures who have signed petitions and are moving legislation and or calling on their fellow legislatures to do their job. Because as Thomas Jefferson and James Madison pointed this out, it is the job of the state legislators to protect their citizens from federal tyranny. So this is a huge leap in organizing for Republic Review. And I just want you to understand that this has started off in Idaho. So Idaho is not my state. I don't live there. But Idaho is kind of taking the tippy point of this, you know, the very tip of the spear there, and is going to be driving this forward. And so I will probably end up having the founder of Focus on, hopefully, when he has time. But anyway, the intent is to start letting you kind of go out and look at Focus. They're on Facebook as well. And right now, they used to be a part of the COSP, the Convention of States project, and or supporting Article 5. And I think it took me, you know, it took some time working with them and understanding, because they were a perfect fit for Republic Review, other than the fact that they were just trying to jump the entire process. And that's just a common, how do you say, if you don't do all of the due diligence and research, and so who has the time anymore to do all of this? And so that, I think that's one of the real differentiators. There's just a few of us that are, if you want to call us nerdy or wonks, you know, as far as getting things right. And that's one of the things that is kind of frustrating for, I think, some of the status quoers, because they just expect everybody to have to do all the due diligence. And that's not, I just don't think it's in the, in our culture, it's just not, it's not reasonable for everybody to do that. So that's one of the reasons why in my executive summary, I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to read these documents. And I've, if you want to call them, I've cherry picked. These are key documents that absolutely support my thesis. And I don't need to have a whole library to support this, but I wanted to make sure that I was providing you Madison's words, Jefferson's words, and so forth, so that you understood that what I was suggesting is absolutely the truth, and that once you start learning, you know, this different paradigm, I'm not trying to get a paradigm shift here. What I'm trying to do is just broaden the paradigm just a little bit to understand that the Constitution is a contract and the states are the stakeholders of that contract. And so what Focus has done is, as they've, you know, kind of broadened their paradigm, they've looked at this and go, you know what, we're, you know, we need to realign to this, because the Republic Review is precisely what needs to be done. And they're not alone. There are lots of people that I believe are a part of the COS side that are, you know, are just adamantly, you know, wanting to charge forward and getting involved in, you know, saving the Constitution, that, you know, in recognizing that some of these other groups are more of the status quo, whatever you want to say. They, you know, in supporting the old process, which has been failing us, and they're just getting so frustrated going, you know, we've got to do something. We can't just sit here, and we don't have time. And I thank them for at least taking the courage and action and trying to move forward. And now I just ask that they really start evaluating their position in contrast to mine, or I should say to the framers with Republic Review, because there's no doubt in my mind, this is the only way we can do it. Nullification will not work. The Article 5 process will not work. We have to audit this contract. And so you can go out to Focus, FOCOS.us online, and you can kind of get a feel for what they're about. Now, they may still be saying and talking about the Article 5 process and so forth, but worry not, that's, give it some time. They're going to be changing and shifting gears, but there's a lot of things to do between now and then. So just kind of putting that on your radar for the horizon. Another nice thing about working with Idaho is they are one of the most conservative states in the union. They kind of look like a pointing finger, and maybe they'll be the state that actually pokes the finger in the federal government's eye and calling upon the rest of the states. And maybe they could be the one to initiate this audit and calling on their sibling states to do their job as well and joining them. If you haven't heard, they are already poking the eye in Obamacare. I think that that's nice. It's nice that they're looking at, you know, how they want to address health care for a state, because that's an issue that they need to address. But I don't think they need to worry about unconstitutional federal laws, especially if they start moving down this path of auditing the Constitution. That way they can get rid of all unconstitutional laws and call on all the states to do the same with them. Anyway, I know there's been a lot of people talking. I wanted to talk about this yesterday about the Oakland mayor. And I don't know if it's just a common thing that's being brought up, but hasn't she taken an oath of office? I mean, come on. What about these oaths of office? Are those just words that people say anymore? Well, I'm at a hard break, and so I'll get into a little bit on the mayor when we get back, and then I will give you a rundown on Tom DeWeese, and we should have Tom DeWeese in our third segment. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Rippey Homes is a family-owned business that has been building homes in the Spokane area for over a decade. For years, they've offered their customers an array of construction projects and services. But due to market demands, they now exclusively focus building high-efficiency homes and business offices, offering custom turnkey solutions for customers seeking to save money on operational costs while enjoying the latest innovations and construction technology. They understand many of these features can be expensive, but this is why they work closely with a team of leading designers to integrate the details and options that suit your needs. When it comes to translating designs into reality, the artisans they employ make this happen. If you're interested in building a cutting-edge dream home or office, then contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Thank you. Hey, folks, it's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I have learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Vaughn Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money on just any good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist like Dr. Vaughn Tracy. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Vaughn Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I ask you to give Dr. Vaughn Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. So I was just getting into this Oakland mayor, but before I do, I know I've got this promo on result-oriented organizations. I will tell you the Focus is a result-oriented organization, and I will be introducing you to other organizations that are very similar, that provide a different type of service and so forth. And one of those I already introduced you to was John Chambers. And his content in teaching the Constitution. So if you are looking to start a local, you know, constitution classes and what have you, John Chambers has some curriculum for you, and there's plenty of other resources out there, but I want to introduce you to all of these. Go through, look at, get it all, and basically start comparing notes and make your own the best that you possibly can in teaching, because you're not going wrong in teaching your neighbors and your community the importance and the details of the Constitution. Anyway, this Oakland mayor does take an oath of office. And that oath, it's the first thing, folks, it is the very first thing you pledge to, that is to protect and defend the Constitution. And so what she is doing is she's undermining her oath, and actually she is violating her oath by failing to support the Constitution and constitutional laws. And what she is doing is she is clearly sending a message that criminally illegals is where her loyalty lies, and she has no loyalty towards the safety of her law-abiding legal citizens. And I'm sure you've heard lots of other pundits and people and entertainers talk about this. But let's look at what would happen if someone within her organization started letting people know about revenue inspections or health department inspections, so that, you know, if there were really dirty restaurants that were, you know, getting people sick, that, you know, they would tip them off, hey, we're going to be coming by about this time, so you may want to clean up just in case. Or how about police sobriety checks? We're, you know, trying to keep drunk drivers off the road, or speed traps, people that are recklessly driving and you know, citing those people, because these types of things actually, you know, help the community in safety, because, you know, people don't like getting tickets. They know that they're out there. These things are happening. So let me not be, you know, speeding, because I know that they could be having a speed trap. Anyway, building codes inspections, whether that be sales tax, there's all sorts of revenues and things that she would not want exposed, because it would probably cost them in revenues, and it could cost people's lives because of safety issues. But instead, she is tipping off illegal criminals so that they can evade the law. I mean, seriously, this hurts the head. This does not make any sense until you start putting this into perspective. The reason she is doing this is because there is the progressives have this perceived dependency, and I think it's a real dependency, on protecting these folks. Because why? They are providing some form or pathway to having these folks, these illegal criminal aliens, in either voting and what have you. Voter fraud is a reality, and we have to get on top of this. And these corrupt, vile politicians are allowing these types of things to bake in your community. If I was a good constitution-loving person in Oakland, I would be doing everything I could in getting organized and basically to calling people out. And I know it seems like California is lost, but you're not. Start complaining to nearby states. Get this. If the Attorney General of Nevada, Arizona, or another constitution-loving that's neighboring California, because there's not very many, because Oregon is pretty liberal, that you can't get their Attorney General to charge some of these politicians with treason. But I would just love to see some of these states using their constitutional power of charging some of these politicians with treason, because they're providing aid and comfort to enemies within. This is unabashed evil. It is undermining a rule of law and exploiting offenders for political gain at the expense of their law-abiding citizens. We have to stop this. We cannot allow this to continue. And it's nice to see Trump, you know, going after the money and those types of things. But what I would rather see is I'd rather see the DOJ and the FBI come in and start arresting all of these corrupt individuals. And because if you start sending that kind of message, I'm telling you, it will resonate. And the next people will either be more emboldened to be bad, and then they'll get arrested too, or you'll start getting better candidates, and you'll actually start getting people that will support the Constitution. Tom DeWeese should be coming in with the next segment. And since I'm almost out of time here, let me give you a little background on who Tom is. Tom DeWeese is one of the nation's leading advocates of individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, personal privacy, back to basics education, and American sovereignty and independence. A resident of Virginia since 1982, Tom is a native of Ohio. He's been a candidate for the Ohio legislature, served as an editor of two newspapers, has owned several businesses. He was listed in the Outstanding Young Men of America in 81 and 82, and was added to the National Registry of Who's Who in 2000. I'm not even on that. So in 1989, Tom led the only privately funded election observation team to the Panamanian elections. And in 2006, he was invited to Cambridge University to debate the issue of the United Nations before Cambridge. It was a 200-year-old debating society. Today, he serves as founder and president of the American Policy Center, and he is the editor of the Tom DeWeese Report, which you should sign up for. The author of two books, Now Tell Me I Was Wrong, Erase, a fictional political thriller, and his most recent book entitled Sustainable, the War on Free Enterprise, Private Property, and Individuals. Tom has appeared on such national programs, including Fox News and The Michael Reagan Show and this show today, and quoted in The New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Washington Post. Tom DeWeese is one of the first to voice concerns over the radical agenda of the environmental movement and to question its motives since 1992, and has been sounding the alarm since the UN's Agenda 21 and its policy of sustainable development as a threat to private property rights, free markets, and American sovereignty and independence. For over 45 years, Tom DeWeese has been a businessman, grassroots activist, leader, writer, and publisher. As such, he has always advocated a firm belief in man's need to keep moving forward while protecting our constitutionality and guaranteed rights. So when I come back from the break, Tom will be on, and I want to talk to him about how he got started. I want to talk to him about the impetus of his books and some of the details. I will give you my personal view of Tom. He is a subject matter expert on the Agenda 21 and the globalist agenda being infiltrated into American policies at the national, state, and local levels. I have listened to him. His briefings are great. And if he ever comes to a town near you or you see an event, please make sure you attend, because it will be a fire hose presentation. The one I attended, he had all sorts of people coming up and holding signs of the different hats of lobbyists who are trying to backdoor your local councilmen, commissioners, and so forth. There is a real threat in your property rights, and this Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, whatever the new name is, because they like changing it once we get it out there. This is a real threat to our future and our sovereignty. And I hope to talk to him a little bit about Republic Review. He's the author of the backword in my executive summary that's being published. And so I would ask you to stay tuned and make sure you kind of listen. And I'd highly recommend his book. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors with Tom DeWeese. Thank you so much. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. Rippey Homes wants you to know the process from start to finish in building your custom home can take up to 2 years, especially if you're looking for real estate and have not settled on the design of your home. There are a lot of details in each step of this process and a plethora of options in the Passivhaus designs that Rippey Homes specializes in. If you want to get your custom home done right, then working with the Passivhaus experienced builder with an unmatchable reputation, then you need to contact Rippey Homes. Again, the process can take a long time, so getting the lead time and learning your options as well as getting into the schedule will help you get that much closer to obtaining your dream custom home. So check out Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our Republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And as promised, we have Tom DeWeese on the line with us. Mr. DeWeese, how are you doing?
Doing well, GR. Thank you.
I know that you've been doing this for a long time. Your bio is pretty impressive. What was the impetus that got you really active in the Agenda 21 and all these things that you've been doing?
Well, I was very concerned. I was working on like education issues. We were talking about Goals 2000, school to work, things like that. And as I was working on those issues, I started seeing these environmental policies come up. And I started to have a question about, what about the property rights of people, with these policies being put in place, wetlands regulations and Endangered Species Act and so forth. So that led me to get involved in movement was called the Wise Use Movement, and it really was about the property rights and fighting these environmental issues mainly ranchers, timber people, people like that. It was in 1992, one of the people I had met in that movement was Henry Lamb. And Henry started going to these international, these UN meetings, and reporting from there what was going on. And he came back from the Earth Summit, and he called a bunch of us who were working in the property rights movement, and he said, I need to talk with you guys. And we all met in St. Louis, and for 2 days he poured this information into our heads till we were practically on the floor, you know, couldn't take any more. What else do they have planned here? He was our mentor. He was the one who taught us what was in Agenda 21 and what it meant. And I was one of the people who took up the battle and have been doing it ever since.
Okay. And so from that point moving forward, when did you found the American Policy Center?
We founded the American Policy Center about 1986. And actually, originally we were called the Foreign Policy Center. And we were working on foreign policy issues. I actually worked a little bit with some of the Contras who were fighting the Nicaraguan communists. And we sponsored an election observation team in 1988, I believe it was, to go to Panama to observe the elections there when Noriega completely stole that election in Panama. I worked with Jonas Savimbi and his freedom fighters in UNITA against the communists there. And so that's what I was doing originally. and I wanted to get involved in these domestic issues that I just described.
Right.
And that's when I said, well, let's, you know, we changed the name to the American Policy Center and been there ever since.
Okay, so you created this foundation, was involved in foreign policies, and then jumped into the domestic side, and you then made this leap into writing a book. And you wrote, it's kind of interesting that you wrote a fictional political thriller. And so I don't know where that came from. But anyway, you wrote this book called Erase. And so where did that come from? It's actually probably coming from one of my browsers. But anyway, so when did you publish your first book in Erase? And what was the drive? Because that's a political fictional political thriller. I'm not saying that's out of left field, but that's obviously a more creative type of writing vice a truth be told or down to the dirty facts of what you'd expect from a policy center. Does that make sense?
Yeah, right. No, absolutely makes sense. The first book that I put out was in 2011.
Okay.
It was called Now Tell Me I Was Wrong.
Right.
And it was a collection of articles that I wrote on all these different issues over a period of time.
Okay.
Immigration and Agenda 21 and education and personal privacy and all that kind of stuff. And
then came Erase.
Then Erase came out just about a year and a half ago.
Oh, okay.
And I had never written fiction in my life. And I got this idea one night, and it started to percolate. I got up in the morning, and I wrote an outline to it. And step by step, I started writing. And I would sit at my computer, and I think, where is this coming from? It just kept coming. But what it really was is the world I live in, if you take and extrapolate out the policies that, you know, Agenda 21, sustainable development policies, and how it affects us. And you know, I started creating characters and stuff, but in any race, a whole lot of the dialogue in there is things that are actually said, have been actually said. I just changed the names of who said them. And a whole lot of the scenes in there actually have taken place. And call it fiction if you want. The only fictional part about it were the characters I created and where I led it to. But the policies actually all exist, and a lot of the dialogue actually was said. So
interesting. So how, after writing those books, and it's so being an author myself, I just kind of tried to pin and formulate an argument you know, in an academic, and I've never been able to break out. Not that I'm not creative, I've just never been able to break out of that academic approach. And so, you know, the fact that you were able to take a different type of approach with that book, I think it helps pull in the reader a little bit more. I mean, mine is more like a text, and I remember going to school reading textbooks, and boy, they were painful, but you know, they were definitely opening my mind somewhat. But anywho, You finished your two books, and you're now launching, I believe. You got a press date. When is the press date for your third book?
Well, actually, it is printed, and I expect to receive it tomorrow.
Porch date tomorrow. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. And so it's going to be available online. Now, is this a standard published book, so it's not something that you're self-publishing?
No, okay. We have a publisher for it, and it's actually the Kindle version is available now. You can get that right now, and it was last Thursday, I believe it was, that we launched that, and 4 hours later, we were number four in the category that we had chosen, which was in political books, environmental books, down to planning and, you know, the government planning programs and so forth. That's the category. We were number four within 4 hours in that category. So I was thrilled to see that. And that was all just Kindle.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah. But we're getting pre-orders now, and they're starting to come in. And we haven't even begun to promote it yet. So I'm kind of excited people are responding to it.
Now, are you printing both hard copy and paperback, or...?
We'll have a hardback version available. I'm primarily focused on the paperback because it's a lot cheaper.
Sure.
And you can reach out to more people.
Yeah, it is a lot cheaper. People definitely wanted me to do a hardback, and I said, are you willing to pay this much more for it? And they said, are you kidding? And I go, no, it's very expensive to do it that way anyway. And so I'm going to say you haven't even started the marketing, but – do you have a schedule as far as, are you working with an agent in getting to do, you know, either book talking and or book tours and what have you?
Not working with an agent at this point. I have talked to one, but after talking with them, I decided I already did everything they were saying, so I do it myself at this point. But we've got, we're ready to send promotional pieces out to the largest radio programs in the country, and we're going to be, you know, buying some advertising in different places. The main thing I'm doing is I'm organizing a property rights network, which will be made up of activists, elected officials, and various other people who are involved in these issues, and we're going to start a series of webinars, training webinars, and of course I'm out speaking and getting out there. I look to be on some of the major programs that will reach, you know, very large audiences and so forth. So lots of different things. We're doing direct mail. We're doing you know, social media, all that kind of stuff. We'll start here very shortly.
Okay. Well, that's good, and I hope, you know, that all pans out for you, because I think that your success is our success, especially when it comes to educating people, in getting people activated and so forth. I don't have a lot of time. I'm basically less than, well, under 30 seconds left. But what I would like to do is hold you over, because what I wanted to talk about next is the thing that fascinated me, and when you did your presentation of pointing out all these different lobbyists and so forth. And so when we come right back, I want to talk about how we dovetailed or see a dovetailing of what you're doing and what I am doing. So if you'd please stay tuned, folks, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back with you, Tom. Thank you. This is GR Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile,
I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
Thousands of people each month are moving to what is referred to as the Redoubt area. That's R-E-D-O-U-B-T. If you're tired of insane liberal policies and you have a growing concern in the ideological makeup of your community, you should do what many others are doing and look into joining us here in the Redoubt area. If you settle on moving to the Spokane area, you need to contact Rippey Homes to help you develop the ideal solution that can help you reduce your operational costs and reduce your dependence on the nation's aging infrastructure. Rippey Homes offers a full package service, including real estate, Passive Haus designers with an array of options to help you blend in with your surroundings. Why risk what is important, your family and your home? So check out Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com in the heart of the Redoubt country. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so, Tom, before we went off to the break, what I was trying to do, because when I watched your presentation and pulling people up and giving them roles of players within city council, commissioners, and so forth, and your approach in getting people active in petitioning their local government and petitioning people to stand up, that's very similar to what I have had articulated with Republic Review. And so I saw this dovetailing because there's no doubt in my mind that people need to get more active. And so I guess, if you wouldn't mind my asking, how successful have you been? Because I think you had a success story of a city or turning around a town, community, what have you.
There have been a couple, and our successes have been baby steps so far, because this is so huge and so entrenched, and the other side has so much money and political power putting it in place. And we've gone through this system or this situation where every time somebody from our side comes into a city council meeting and says something about Agenda 21, we get the eye roll and we get the sigh, and usually dismissed right from that point. I don't want to hear any more of this, go away. And so we're fighting through that. We've had a couple of things. Back in 2011, in Carroll County, Maryland, a gentleman by the name of Richard Rothschild not only got elected to county commission, but he also brought a team on. So five brand new county commissions, commissioners ran on the issue of rolling back Agenda 21 sustainable development policies, and they got elected. And the first thing they did was fire the sustainability manager, and they so the taxpayers didn't have to pay for him anymore. And the they were the first county in the country to rescind membership with an organization called ICLEI, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. ICLEI had been one of the organizations through the UN that wrote Agenda 21, and then they made it their mission to bring it to every city in the world. They had 650 American cities paying them dues to do just that. They came in with computer programs, with all kinds of plans, all in a box, ready to roll. And they were just rolling right along. And Carroll County, Maryland became the first one to stop that. And then they met with the Planning Commission, who brought out their latest plan, what they were going to visioning plan for the community. And I've seen the video of it. Richard sitting there, just kind of his head on his hand, you know, as he's listening to it. And as it went along, he suddenly said, "What about the property rights?" And they were talking about this community or this area in the community where they were going to move in and make it a certain kind of development. And they looked at him and basically said, "Well, what property rights?" He said, "People live there. They have. Don't we have a duty to, and a promise to them that we'll protect their rights in there?" And then they went on, kept going on. And again, Richard popped up somewhere along the way, said, "Well, how does that fit with the Constitution?" And it was almost like they said, "What Constitution?" And anyway, at the end of the meeting, the new board of county commissioners said, "Take this thing back and don't bring it back to us until it protects property rights and adheres to the Constitution." That was our first real victory. A little town called Ringe, New Hampshire, knew nothing about any of these things, but suddenly began to realize that strange things were coming out of the county government, and they began to look into it, and to their horror found out, you know, some of these things were going on. In about a year and a half's time, they replaced the most of the county commission, and they actually passed an ordinance that said that the local government was not allowed to apply for a new grant from HUD without first a vote of the people, which is absolutely revolutionary. They would have to get their approval first. And so we've had, and it's little things like that have happened across the country. So we're beginning to find new tactics, new ways to stand up and fight back. But what we have accomplished is we've made it an issue. And people, now you say Agenda 21, to talk about sustainable development, talk about property rights. Across the country, people are beginning to understand that. And for the first time, I'm beginning to get calls from local elected officials who now are beginning to understand the threat they're facing. And they're saying, "What can we do?" And so that's why I'm beginning to organize this property rights network and try to bring all those kind of forces together. We've got some fantastic individual activists who are fighting alone, and we want to give them some backup so that we can help and help them make some progress and, you know, begin to move forward.
I think that's so diabolical that they have embedded in their plan the ability to make the cities and the taxpayers pay for underwriting their operations. I mean, that is about as insidious as one can think. The other thing is, do you have a Facebook presence? I know personally you do, but does the APC have a Facebook presence where these petitions and some of this information, you know, because some of these are just basic fact sheets and so forth, where people can start looking and so forth. Do you have that kind of a presence on Facebook for people? I know you have your website, but I know people like grabbing things and sharing, and I'm not sure if your website is Facebook attuned so that people can grab something and share it or what. Is there a way you're leveraging social media in getting this out?
Yes. We do have a Facebook page for American Policy Center.
Okay, great.
And, you know, of course, I have mine, and I actually have two in my name. One of them I use all the time. The other one, we post things on there. It's more for this kind of thing. And so we have both of them. And I'm told that we have a Twitter account. I've never been on Twitter in my life, but I have a young guy who works for me who does all these things. He says I have followers there, so, you know.
So how do you know if Trump tweets you or not if you're not active in it?
I'm missing out.
Okay, so are some of these – because availability of these petitions I think would be a really good tool, and I believe that most of the people listening are already really, you know, aware of Agenda 21, and they just need maybe a little bit of guidance on how to, you know, step one, do this, step two, do this, and three and four. But, you know, these little victories, they're not Pyrrhus victories, folks. These are real victories that we need to start duplicating. In Facebook, they do allow you to put notes or documents up. Are those available there, or are they strictly available on your website?
I don't think they're available yet, but let me tell you what we are doing. And again, I go back to this Property Rights Network. We are building a website for it.
Okay.
And the point is that we're going to have it broken down by states. And you can go into various states, your state, or if you want to see something else, and we're going to have listed who are activists there that you can contact, who are elected officials that you can trust on this that are part of it. We want to have the activists post in there, here's a success story, here's what we did, here's what we were up against, or don't ever do this, you'll get your head handed to you, you know.
Right.
So
stay
away from this tactic, and we'll spread new tactics, and so we have that kind of a background of information that's there. And so that I think that leads to what you're talking about.
Right.
And then
absolutely,
we're also very shortly going to start sponsoring a series of webinars, bringing experts who, you know, have been in the field fighting these things to talk about it and to train people. Here's what you do, and here's how to handle this.
Okay, great. And when you get that launched, let me know or come back on the air and let us know about it and give us
sure.
The details. I got barely a minute and a half. What was your first impact or impression when you read my executive summary on Republic Review?
Well, I think, as I told you, I came about it very much opposed to a constitutional convention, the whole country and the states. And I was, you know, had trepidation. Is this another way? Is this a Trojan horse, you know, to try to take us into that?
Right.
And what I discovered as I read it is that what you're advocating is that the states take up their responsibility, take it back,
yep,
just as the Constitution says,
right,
and nullify and rescind this invasion of the federal government and stand up to it. That's exactly what I advocate, and that's what I was excited to see.
Yeah, so actually the states, we don't have the time to get into it, but the states actually have far more power and teeth than even people are willing to talk about at this point. But I'll just say this, that if you haven't read my final that's going out into edit, I'm actually calling the states that are joining into this. I'm recommending that they rescind their petition and application for their Article 5. They can always do that at any point in time when they feel that they really need to, but I think it is a mixed message when you say, I want to amend the Constitution, but I want to assert my authority over it. You know, you don't need to do both, and technically asserting your authority over it is truly the killer swing. Any parting comments? We got about 5 seconds.
Our website's AmericanPolicy.org. We've got a whole archive of articles. We've got tools, things like that, so you can learn all what we're doing there.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and we hope to have you back. And thank you so much, and God bless you, Tom, and what you do.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, we will be back, and we will have more content and more information for you. But as you can tell, we're putting it together.